Welcome to the City on the Hill. Our podcast is Friday evening. Lord bless you for being here with us. I'm so glad that we're able to talk about things of the Lord, current events, things that are meaningful to God's remnant. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to both minister to and call the remnant, because when God finds his holy remnant, then we're going to be able to work on bringing Jesus back. And that's what we're all about. We're about pleasing God and bringing back our Lord and Savior. So again, I've got Benji with me over here to my left, got my wife Julie over here to my right, and we want to talk with you tonight about some good things that I hope encourage you to continue growing as being a part of the remnant of God. So let me just start with some things that are on my heart, things that we were just mentioning to each other right before we came on the air tonight. But I want us to look back for a moment at Israel thousands of years ago, because they're our example. We always have to remember that they are there as an example of how God interacts with his people. Right. Now, of course, it is to all people now. God has his church now, his church, and even more specific to what we're doing, he has his remnant that he is using to spur the church to be what it's supposed to be. But our example goes back into the Old Testament, to Israel. That God doesn't change. And so if he wanted something thousands of years ago, if he interacted in a certain way thousands of years ago, it's still the same. The door is different. Jesus is the door. He is the door to get to the Father. Yes. But God doesn't change. And so having said that, I want us to look back for a moment. And when in Exodus, if you go and you read and study about how God's people were in Egypt, and God had put them there, but at this point they were in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians, and doing the building and the work and making the bricks and for the buildings, and all of those stories that we know about how the Egyptians abused God's people at that time. But then God sent Moses to begin to get the ball rolling, because God was ready to set his people free. And if you go and you look at that story, and again, clearly I can't get into all the scriptures and all the details and all of that right now, but one of the things that God did that he used to set his people free, bless his people, protect his people, take care of his people, was he set them in the land of Goshen, which was separate from where the Egyptians lived. And this group of God's people, they're living in the land of Goshen. The Egyptians were living, of course, in all the rest of the land. But when all the plagues were happening, all the death and destruction was happening, all the bad things that were going on to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians are just, they're symbolic of the world around us. Everything that was happening to them, God had his people separate. And in their separation, he protected them. None of the bad things that fell upon the Egyptians fell upon God's people. Why? Because they were separate in the land of Goshen. They were different. And because they were different, this is what, and I encourage you to go read Exodus for yourself. But because they were different, the Bible says this about God's relationship to them. He said, I'm going to be the difference between you and the Egyptians. In other words, because you're willing to be different and you're separate, he said, I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to make all the Egyptians and all the world know that what makes you different is that I'm fighting for you. What makes you different, because you're willing to be, you're separate from the world, you're separate from the Egyptians, you're different than they are. I'm now able to step up and show the Egyptians that God is taking care of you, that the one true God is miraculously, supernaturally doing things for my people. They're all going to know that the difference maker is God Almighty himself. And that only was able to happen because they were separate than the Egyptians. What were there some struggles? There were. And now's not the time to get into the whole story, as I've already said. Of course there were struggles. Of course there were things that God had to teach them and they had to work through. And that's true for all of our lives. But because they were separate from the Egyptians, God was able to be the difference maker. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened and God's people were set free and they were on their way to the promised land, God came to them and he said, okay, now I'm going to give you a set of laws. And these laws are meant to keep you separate. They're meant to help you be holy. They're meant to make sure that you never have mixture amongst your camps. It's meant to keep the world out of your lives. It's meant to keep a destruction from you because you're not going to be like them. There were even laws regarding not planting two different crops in one field, not making a garment out of two different kinds of thread. Why? Because God was trying to teach them, you have to be separate, you have to be different, you have to be holy, and if you do that, then I'm going to be the difference maker for you. God never allows mixture in his camp, in his people, never. Whenever they broke those laws and allowed mixture to come in, then God had to step in and bring judgment to his people. And I'm saying all that not because we live according to those laws, because we don't, but I'm saying it because God doesn't change. Right. And God still desires and in fact requires there to be separation and requires there to be a difference between his people and all the other people.
We are in the world, but not of it.
Absolutely right. God requires that. Now, the way we get to that obviously is different because we go through the door, Jesus. He is the way that we become a new creation so that we can truly walk as a different people. But the idea, the principle is still the same. None of that has changed. None of that has become different. The idea of it that God requires a separate, different people has become so far from what is taught in the church today that it actually has come back around to literally the opposite of, let's see how close we can get like the world, because that's the best way to minister to the world, to get as close as we can to being like them.
To look like them and act like them.
To look like them, to sound like them, dress like them, behave like them, drink like them, everything, watch the same shows they watch. Let's see how closely aligned we can be with the world. So that, because that is the best way to save them. And that has never been God's plan. Never. That has never. The church has taken a couple of scriptures of how Jesus would go into someone's house and a sinner's house for the purpose of salvation, and somehow they've turned that around to, well, let's just be like them. Let's just be like them. No one is saying that you don't minister to sinners, but you minister them because you're different. You minister to them because you're separate. Right. You minister to them because you talk different. You look different. You sound different. You think different. You live different. God still requires holiness and separation. So much so, one of the scriptures I use a lot from Hebrews chapter 12, it says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Mm. Now, listen, you can chop up and cut up and do whatever you want to that scripture to make yourself feel good about your about how you're living. You can do whatever you want to do. There have even been people that have said, well, maybe we need to get Hebrews out of the Bible. You can do whatever you want to do to that scripture. You can't change its meaning when it says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And if you keep reading, it even goes on to say, it says, lest any man fall short of the grace of God. How do you fall short of the grace of God? By not being separate, holy, different. That's how you fall short. And because, and I preached about this a couple of weeks ago, and that is why the vast majority of Christians have given up their birthright. Because it goes on to say in that same chapter of Hebrews that that is exactly what Christians are doing. They're giving up their birthright. They're giving up their power, their authority, their life. They're giving it up because they refuse to be different. They refuse to be separate. Well, that's the biblical part of it that we live by. Let's kind of bring it into where we're at right now. Today is, what's today, October what?
25th.
So that means in 6 days it's going to be
Halloween.
Halloween. let's bring it into where, let's bring it into where the rubber meets the road. We have, our three children are grown, but we now have
Soon to be six.
Somewhere between five and seven grandchildren. We're somewhere in there. Every time we turn around, another one's pregnant. So we've got five and going to be six in a few months. Is that right? Okay. Yes. Let me get it straight.
Ben, she's getting scared over there.
Yeah, I don't think Faith is pregnant again.
Do you know something I don't?
I know a lot that you don't, but not that. all joking aside.
Start writing things down for the next podcast.
You know, we with all these grandchildren, and of course they have their different things that they do.
Their activities.
Our three oldest little granddaughters, when I say oldest, they're three and four. Yeah. So they're not in any way grown. But you don't think that they don't know that Halloween is happening, but they have already been taught that we do not celebrate Halloween. Mm-hmm. And to the point that they went to their little dance class last night, and it was dress-up night at their little dance class. They just wore their little cutesy ballerina outfits and whatnot, and the teacher, this is what was told to me, the teacher said to our little 4-year-old granddaughter Esther, said to her, Esther, is this going to be your Halloween outfit? And Esther looked up at her and said, we don't celebrate Halloween. And then she said, only people that don't worship God celebrate Halloween. And, you know, listen, the Bible talks about having the faith of a little child. And that's the faith of a little child. She didn't think twice about it. And I know that in people's minds right now, they're saying, oh, you just turned that woman off. Oh, you just this. You've just taught your grandchildren to be mean to people. No, we're teaching our grandchildren to please the Lord.
And to be different.
To be different, to be separate, to please the Lord above pleasing man. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are sometimes ways that we can do things that maybe can help draw someone to the Lord, but not at the expense of holiness.
Right.
So you see, that's the key. We have gotten in the church world today so involved in trying to find the right bait to catch fish that we forgot that you can never catch fish at the expense of holiness. Holiness is so important, it says you will not see the Lord without holiness. You see, and that's what's happened in the church. We've gotten so involved with the bait that we we start counting how many fish that we have instead of saying, Lord, have I pleased you with what I've done? Mm-hmm. And that's there's nowhere in the Bible that it says that that's okay. Nowhere. And in fact, it's not okay. That's why the Bible puts such a premium on holiness. And we have, please excuse the way I say this. I don't know how else to say it. But we have bastardized holiness and made it into something it was never meant to be. We've turned holiness into well, if I snot a little bit at the altar, that means I'm being holy.
You've dumbed it down.
Listen to me. Yes. Some of the worst sinners I've ever known snotted at these altars and then went back and started sinning again. Mm-hmm. Crying and snotting at, I know I'm saying the word snot a whole lot, but snotting at the altar, that is not holiness. Holiness is holiness.
Or how many different worship nights have I gone to and spent hours at a worship night just worshiping and praising the Lord?
How many small groups have I been a part
That's
of?
That is not the definition of holiness.
How many conferences have I gone to that had Christian political people at? Mm-hmm. That's not holiness. Listen, it's kind of become a joke around here. Whenever a church around us is trying to make a move to grow, they immediately have a conference. Well, we're having a women's conference. We're having a young couples conference. The church has been conferenced to death. I mean, it is ridiculous. That's not holiness. God is looking for holiness. God is looking for separation. The same way he looked for it thousands of years ago, he's never not looked for it.
Those churches are loading themselves up with fleshly things and fleshly concepts as well. And those things pull you further away from holiness.
And so let's get back to this idea of what is current right now with Halloween. But we made a decision several years ago that was not going to be a part of our lives anymore. Mm-hmm. That we and listen, we're not here trying to hide anything. We all grew up dressing up,
yeah.
And we even here when we first started this church years ago, we used to have the fall festivals where we would have people come and dress up as we did. What we thought we were doing was giving an alternative to Halloween, when what we should have been doing is doing away with Halloween.
Yes.
That's what we should have been doing. And you know, you learn and you grow in the Lord.
Right, right. And you grow.
And if you don't give yourself a place to grow, then what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Right. We should be growing every day in the Lord.
Yes.
And you know, go ahead.
You know, that feels like a really big principle. What you said, you talked about not an alternative to Halloween, but doing away with. That's such a great principle for flesh versus spirit. You don't want to find alternatives for fleshly things. You want to do away with them so that the spirit takes place completely.
That's good. That's exactly right. And you know,
and sometimes it's about the language.
Yes.
A lot of times we talk, you know, we focus, you know, we want to broaden our horizons. We want to broaden ourselves. But that's not what we want to do. We want to narrow ourselves.
Jesus said, go through the narrow gate.
Go through the narrow gate.
The narrow gate.
Nothing wrong with it.
He said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction.
That's what we should be doing.
But you see, that's what the church preaches. Hey, widen.
Broaden.
Broaden.
Yeah, broaden.
Widen it. It'll help you become a better minister. It'll help you become a better minister if you broaden your perspective a little bit. All broadening your perspective does is send people to hell. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all it does. Jesus said, narrow, narrow. And again, as my dad used to say, the closer you get to God, the narrower that road gets.
Yes.
Doesn't get wider. It gets narrower. You know, back to Halloween for a second. You know, we... As I said, we've grown in the Lord. Let me also just add a little bit more, and this doesn't take away from what I just said. It actually just it encourages what I just said. No one in their right mind, let me say this, no one in their right mind can dispute that Halloween has become something that it didn't used to be either. You know, it has gone from just maybe going to a couple of houses to get a little bit of candy to now people have life-size monsters in their yard. If I see on TV another cutesy movie about making witches cutesy and good, mm-hmm. But do you not see what the devil's doing?
Yeah.
Do you not see how he planted a seed of Halloween years ago, and now it's become deeper and more and more and more and masqueraded
as something cutesy, like he said, a wolf in sheep's clothing.
You know, it's there again. It seems like every other show, even on your kids' channels, has to do with, oh, this is a family of witches, or this is a family of monsters and
wizards.
Do you really think that pleases God? Do you really think that if you use those types of things to get to people, that you're going to teach them God? You might think you are, but in reality, you're no different than any other religion teaching false gods. You're absolutely no different. And I know, again, that there are a lot of people that, because of things like I'm saying, they've gone to the place of, well, you know, let's not turn off these other religions either. There's lots of different ways to God. And the devil has used these little seeds to bastardize the gospel, the teachings of our Lord and Savior, to the Word of God, that it doesn't mean anything of what it was supposed to mean. And he started many, many decades, if not even before that, by cutting off things that I started this session with, talking about God's people in the Old Testament. The devil cut that off, and listen, there was, how many years did people, a lot of people didn't even carry around Bibles. They just carried around New Testaments because the devil had made it, well, you don't even need the Old Testament anymore. You don't even need it anymore. And from all of that, we've gotten to where Christians are literally celebrating witches and monsters and a worldly view on Halloween. Again, sometimes it's even good to look at the historical context of things. And there's a reason why, you know, one day is Halloween, but what's the very next day called? It's called All Saints Day. You know, there's a reason why, you know, one day you have this day of death and the next day is called about the saints of God. You know, we're missing some things in the church today. Mm-hmm. We've lost some things in the church today. We've so set ourselves on trying to use everything for the gospel of Christ that we forgot that you can't use everything for the gospel of Christ. It is narrow. It is narrow. But wide is the way that leads to destruction. So in short, we don't celebrate Halloween in our family. We don't celebrate it at our church. We don't celebrate it with our little kids. And I'm so proud of my little Esther being 4 years old, looking up at her teacher and saying, we don't celebrate Halloween. Only people that don't worship the Lord celebrate Halloween. And listen, we're not fools. Her parents, I heard them where they said to her, you know, Esther, that maybe there's a little bit different way of saying that to your teacher. But the more I think about it, I don't know if there is another way to say it. Maybe it's going to take the boldness of a little child. Maybe that's what it's going to take to shake the church out of their doldrums, to bring the remnant that we're talking about, to bring the remnant to the forefront. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe we don't need to soften the message. Everyone says yes, but you have to speak the truth in love. Well, the greatest thing that I can do to love somebody is to pull them sometimes violently out of the pits of hell.
In other words, even at the expense of being harsh, we're not going to shy away from being separate.
Well, that's right. And somewhere along the line, love has become to mean compromise. Mm-hmm. That's not love. Compromise is not love. Compromise is actually sinful in certain contexts. I've had so many people, we've known so many people that the last thing that they would say to us before we never saw them again was, well, you have to speak the truth in love. And I just look at them and say, you know what? You go ahead and let the devil speak through you, because that's not that. While that is a scripture, their meaning behind it was from the devil. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we're never the remnant, wherever they are on this planet. And I pray that you're wanting to be a part of it. The remnant will never compromise the fact that love does not mean compromise. Love does not mean giving in something so that they feel more comfortable. Love means I'll say the truth even at the expense of you not liking me. Mm-hmm. That's love.
I hate to interrupt again, but I do want to really quickly emphasize another thing that he said earlier about using a scripture and the devil being behind it. The devil knows the Bible and he knows scripture, and he will use scripture to masquerade the works that he's trying
without
to do.
Without a doubt.
He did that to Jesus, didn't he?
Without a doubt. Absolutely right.
I just want to
yes, please.
Interject a little something here. It's interesting. The world has admiration for what they would call tough love when it has to do with their purposes.
Yes.
Suppose you've got a family member who has gotten themselves into some destructive behavior, then everybody all wants to get together and talk about, oh, let's have an intervention.
Yes.
You know, we got to have some tough love.
Yes.
And, you know, you got to speak the truth to them,
yes,
even if it hurts.
Yes, that's
but
right.
When it comes to the things of God, suddenly it's a bad thing.
Oh, that's not Jesus. Know? Oh, that's not the Jesus that I know. The Jesus that I know, that he would never do that.
There's just so much deception
surrounding
that.
The Jesus that I know is standing there with his arms wide open saying, come to me. Well, I guarantee you that if you go to Jesus, he's going to say the same thing that he said to the people that when he was alive here on this earth, when he said, and sin no more. Mm-hmm. And sin no more. That's what he would say. Well, let me just end by going back to from where I started at. God has always, always looked for and even required holiness for you to be able to call yourself his people, to be able to live in that birthright, authority, and power. He's always required it. He's always required separation. You can hardly go through anywhere in the Word of God without the principle of separation being there. From the beginning to the end, it is all throughout the Word of God. The message of salvation obviously is in the Word of God. But that's not what most of the Word of God is about. Most of the Word of God is about God finding a people that have been saved and then them walking in holiness and in power. You go look at Paul's writings. He wasn't writing to sinners. He might have had a verse here and a verse there. But the vast majority of what Paul wrote in his epistles was to Christians. And it was telling Christians in one way or another that God desires for you to put off the flesh. Mm-hmm. He desires you to understand the time is short. He desires for you to understand the day is at hand.
Yes.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us put off the works of darkness. It was always, God has always been looking for holiness. Always. Well, praise the Lord. Anything else regarding Halloween and or any of that? If not, Benji, tell us all the information.
All right. We got our regular services coming up as usual, Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Wednesday night, 7 p.m. in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville. You can also catch those services on our online platforms as well. Those platforms include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, City on a Hill Church, Koa Church. And we on our online platforms, we got something going on every day of the week. If we don't have a service, we have a devotion coming out on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Remnant 101 with me Tuesday at 8 p.m. Calling the Remnant podcast Friday at 8 p.m. Tell Siri and Alexa to play those Calling the Remnant podcasts. They're available on Spotify, anywhere that podcasts are available. We're doing everything that we can to get the what we believe is the true word of God out. We're trying to spread it, and we're praying that if you listen to what we're talking about today, that you received it.
Praise the Lord. Come see us. Come visit us. God is doing miracles here every time we meet. Come visit us and see what God is doing. Be looking for some new stuff. We have a new newsletter coming out. It's going to be both in a physical and digital form. If you want, if you're here, you could pick one up. If you want to send it to you, just message us with your address. We'll be glad to send it to you. But you can also see it online and print it out or view it online for yourself once we make it available. We got a lot going on here. And we just want to reach the remnant. That's what our goal is, to reach the remnant, because we believe you're out there and you're wanting to hear the truth. We believe it, and we know that when the truth is spoken, that the remnant will stand up. And when the remnant stands up, we're that much closer to bringing back our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
God bless you. We'll see you next time.